I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thank you for joining me again this week for another edition of our business podcast, Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is, the way I like to describe this show is it's, first of all, it's an offshoot of our very successful Tuesday show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. We come to you with business stuff on Thursdays, but I always like to highlight, rather than the nuts and bolts of building a business, I like to highlight the actual client experience and kind of the story with that. And I do that for two reasons. One is I always want to highlight and talk about how we can massively enhance customer value. That should always be number one. And number two, I always like to highlight the actual results or the transformation that many of my guests actually get for their clients and myself. I'll put myself in that bracket too. So when you hear me on this show, I'm usually trying to present a client experience from one of those two perspectives. So today I'm talking to Rob Trazy. He's coming to us from Connecticut. He is a speaker, strategist, and coach, and he is also a podcast host. We're going to talk about, you know, how to navigate, not how to navigate it, because I don't want to make it sound like we're trying to manage it. But obviously, as entrepreneurs, we want to avoid burning out. We want to avoid getting to the point where we just don't find any joy and satisfaction in what we do anymore. And this is one of the things that Rob does with his clients. So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, of course. So, all right. So tell us a little bit about you. Obviously, I know you've got a story behind why you do what you do. So I always like to dig that out of my guests if possible. You know, just introduce yourself.
Yeah, my background actually is also in, it's actually in strength and conditioning. So I went to school, studied kinesiology for undergrad, got my master's in exercise science. And as a strength and conditioning coach, I went down the private sector and really dove in deep and really built my book of clients up at a pretty quick rate to the point where I was working like 13, 14, sometimes 15-hour days, back-to-back sessions, early mornings, late nights. And I was doing that 7 days a week. And at the time, I thought it was great. I was wearing that workload like a badge of honor. For some reason, it was exciting to share with my friends that, like, yeah, I'm working, I'm making a lot of money. And then also at the same time, it was like, oh, I'm too busy to go to parties, weddings, events, and things like that. And I just continued to lean into the work because I thought that that was kind of cool that I was so busy and seeing what I thought was success at that stage of my career until it really wasn't so fun to be that success.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
So yeah. Once like the relationships all started to deteriorate, like, even with my family, I was working on holidays. I kept that workload up for about 3 years and my health started going down the drain. And unfortunately, my dad got diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And instead of spending time with him in those last moments, I chose to work instead. And it didn't hit me until about a year after his passing that this isn't the life that I want to be living. And in that moment of reflection, I decided I needed to change, and that's ultimately where Prime Performance Coaching started, because I had to reflect on what's helped me be successful in the past, and I always knew that there was something more to me than just like cueing squat patterns and counting reps and programming for people. So then that became the whole journey itself. I'm like, okay, what is this thing that I want to find? How do I prevent this burnout sensation from coming back? And then it just evolved from there.
Yeah, I could totally relate to a lot of what you're saying. I built a very successful fitness business too. And I own 2 small studios and built a great book of business. I had great clients. And it wasn't that I didn't want to work with my clients, but there was something you said that I just want to touch on for a minute. I think we find that, you know, we're obviously very proud of the fact that we bootstrap and we build our business from the ground up. You know, that was basically how I did it too. But I think at the end of the day, when there comes a point where you're sitting there and you're asking yourself, you know, when you start having those questions like, do I really want to keep doing this? Why? I mean, the days just kind of blended into the others for me. And like I said, it wasn't that I didn't love my clients. I did. I had fantastic clients. But at the end of the day, if you're letting your cup go completely empty, then you're not being any help to them, much less yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. And I used to joke about it because my friends would be like, oh, Rob, your schedule's crazy. It's like every day is a Monday for you. And I would correct them. And I'd be like, Monday means I just came off of the weekend. Every day for me is kind of like a Wednesday. It's the furthest from the weekend. And like you said, like I love my clients and they love me and it was great times. But yeah, you just continue to pour out of your cup. And when it is bone dry, it starts to creep into everything else, no matter how hard you're trying. And yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of business owners out there today talking about burnout. I just in the last year, it seems to be coming up everywhere. I've had a lot of people on my shows talk about it, talk about their story with it. But I really think it means different things to different people. Tell me what you think it means to you.
Yeah. And I agree with that totally. And because it does appear in so many different ways. And so for me, it's hard for me to define it as one term because it's really the complete opposite of all the different principles that I teach in my coaching program. And it appears different ways. It appears in instability. It appears in lack of energy, motivation, isolation, well, obviously depression and all those things. And for me, it's, I guess to kind of wrap it into one would just be when you're operating way less than ideal, when you've been in that robot mode for way too long. And a lot of time, so I talk about robot mode a lot, and that's when you're kind of inefficient, you're in the efficiency mode and you're constantly grinding and you're pushing yourself physically, mentally, and all those things so that you could be successful in what you're doing. And that's not necessarily a negative thing. It becomes a negative thing when you're stuck and you're unaware that you're stuck and you think that it's just around the corner, or it's just one more client or one more training session, whatever it may be, because then you're lying to yourself about it.
But I also think, too, that there is there's kind of a story that we tell ourselves, too. Just speaking of when I was in fitness full time, is there's a story that we tell ourselves that if I stop, everything that I've worked so hard for is going to fall apart. And if I stop, then my clients will not want to see me anymore. If I stop, then, you know, people will see me as a failure. I know those were three narratives that played in my head quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's true. I feel like a lot of people do experience a lot of those similar feelings. For me, I know if I weren't flexible enough to keep my schedule open when other people needed to change or bounce around or late cancel, if I didn't accommodate to them, it would almost feel like I would be losing them. So I would push my boundaries and not stick to my time. And I would allow other people to kind of just essentially walk all over me without being intentional with it. And that is what really allowed it to like get to the point where it was too much, because I was tricking myself into thinking like, oh, I'm making this person a little bit happier, which means they're going to want to stick with me for longer. And then I think I'm doubling down on getting extra sessions because now I have free time to bring somebody else in. And I didn't realize what I'm doing is I'm sacrificing myself every time. And then when I continue to like keep pouring out of my cup, then I've got nothing left at all to show.
Yeah. And I also think too, that it's just a form of what I call resistance, where it's like, it's kind of like, you know, the pink elephant's in the middle of the room, right? But you just keep going around the pink elephant and hoping that the way you find is going to solve the problem. And so it's really just a way of avoiding what the real issue is. And I remember for me, it was, you know, I distinctly remember sitting in my office one night after closing down, and my office assistant, who'd been with me for quite a while, had turned in his notice. It was a student that I had really watched grow up over the years. And I literally had this moment where I was like, what am I going to do? You know, do I want to keep going like this? And I think we have to have that moment where we realize there's something else. And it was really that moment for me that opened my eyes to saying, I'm not going to be here in another 6 months. I'm going to be, that was finally like the kick in the butt that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have something very similar where I was sitting around and I losing my father and not even like letting that even affect me. And until that year later, when I reflected on it, it clicked in my head. I'm like, oh my God, my dad worked for 30 plus years for this company. All he wanted to do was just kick back in the sand, listen to some good tunes and just chill out. And he never even got there. And it was almost as if like that entire part of his life was just wasted. And then I saw myself and I feared the same thing happening to me. I didn't want to get to a situation regretting, wow, all this time working, trying to make this money and then not being able to enjoy it and not being able to connect with anybody else. And it was terrifying.
Yeah. Well, and we don't really get, and this is the last thing I'll say on this before we move on. We really don't get an award for working the hardest. You know, I think and you mentioned this when we first started chatting, that, you know, we wear that overworking badge on us. Like we want everyone to see it. No, but I put in the 12-hour day. I put in the 15-hour day. Like at the end of the day, that's really going to matter. You know, we go into business for ourselves. We decide to be entrepreneurs because we want to do it our way. But it doesn't do us any good if all we're doing is working and talking about how hard we're working, even if we are working that hard, because that's really not what people will remember about us. At least that's not what I want people to remember about me.
Yeah, that's so true. So true.
Yeah. So you had the moment, you decided to change and pivot in your business. And so now you actually help other business owners avoid the same scenario that you found yourself in. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's a fun experience for me because I get to work with a lot of individuals coming from different industries and different situations too. Like we were saying earlier, burnout kind of appears to everybody a little bit differently. That makes it a good challenge for me because I'm an adversity drive and achievement drives are my two primary drives. And that fuels me every time because it's a new challenge, new perspective, new obstacles, and working together to kind of create those. And then once we settle down, we kind of plan out a whole attack plan, I guess. It's really about shining awareness on where we need to keep the focus, creating that action plan, and then just holding accountable and making sure we get done and getting that homework finished.
Yeah. So when a client first comes to you, and if you're probably like me in that you had already established yourself and kind of what you stand for, and people knew you for your body of work. So, you know, obviously when you're making a pivot in your business, it's a little easier when you already have an existing client base that knows you and that you can kind of appeal to. But it sounds like with what you're doing now, you're probably attracting and appealing to other different kinds of business owners as well.
Yeah, I would say so. Are you asking kind of like with the fitness and strength and conditioning clients in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Because when I pivoted more into business coaching, a lot of my people that knew me from my fitness background are how I got my first clients. Mm-hmm. And because I had established myself already in the area where I live in particular, and I already had an audience online, it was a little easier to make a pivot than just simply starting over. But I guess maybe I didn't ask my question in the right way. So tell us a little bit about how people find you and what you sort of take them through when you start working through them or working with them rather.
Yeah. So as I kind of shifted and changed focuses mm-hmm. with my career, I was looking to kind of share my messaging, just get out and share what's helped me be successful. So before I had even fully committed to the shift in the coaching world, I was looking for opportunities to just share about my experiences. And that made it pretty clear to me that speaking was going to be a new avenue for me to dive into. And I got really excited about that because I've always found myself in a leadership type role, specifically in sports that I played. So it wasn't terrifying for me to get on stage and get in front and talk and share my stuff. in front of people. And once I learned that it could also be a lead gen and also helping to share the message and impact more, I honed in on really getting better at that craft. So learning how storytelling and connecting and all these other things became a new challenge and journey for me. So now I'm traveling around the country, not only teaching workshops, but speaking on stages at different conferences and things like that. And people just kind of follow and connect through me with social media or podcast and in different conferences and such.
Yeah. And, you know, I completely agree with you about the speaking. I've taught at the college level now for almost 27 years. And, you know, that's not really like speaking on a stage, but you get used to kind of thinking on your feet in front of a group of people. And so speaking in public has really never been a challenge for me. But I do think that it's one of the skills that you can always hone in on a little bit more, because I think the upside is just so great. There's so many ways that that can help your personal growth as well as your professional growth. So I think that will probably continue to pay big rewards for you. So take us through a little bit about what your client experience actually looks like. Business owners come to you, they find you, they say, you know what, I resonate so much with your story, because I imagine you tell your story when you go and give a talk or whatever. And so, you know, a lot of people look for themselves in our stories. You know, there's something about our story that resonates with them. So what I'm picturing is, and just, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is, you know, people sort of, you know, they resonate with your message. And you sort of help them and say, look, here are some things like you already talked about that, you know, we should shift to. And I know what it feels like because I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, you said it perfectly there. A lot of the principles that I live my life by and I teach aren't essentially, they're not necessarily new principles and strategies and things. It's just that the way that I relate them to experiences in my life that helps connect and land with other people. So you said you were so 100% true there. And then when people connect with me, then they can see a lot of themselves, and then they buy into the idea that they too can get out of the situations that they're in. So when we sit down and we talk, we really dive into what we've done in the past, really setting the stage on seeing what's worked well for them previously, but then also what needs to change into the future. So bringing that awareness in, strategizing the game plan, and then we have those separate little action items that are unique for each person, because I've been in a lot of different coaching programs myself, and a lot of the cookie cutter things are great, like excellent spots to start. Yeah. But until you officially change or adapt it and make it uniquely to you, it's only going to bring you so far.
Totally. Right. I agree with that. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there in the coaching world that are basically copying what other people are doing. And then, you know, when they don't get the results that they want, they just get frustrated and quit. And it's kind of like the story perpetuates itself over and over again. It's like being on a hamster wheel a treadmill that just never stops. And then we start to question ourselves and we're like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this? But I think it's exactly what you said. It's you haven't found like the right approach to work for you. But this is why having somebody work with you and having a partner, you know, a coach, a partner, a mentor is so important, because we can't see our blind spots.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. Like that's one of the first exercises that I try to dive in, is really setting the team triangle. Is a framework that I work on. Yeah. And at the top, so I use a lot of sports references and acronyms and a lot of things that I teach, but the team triangle, at the top, the very point is the smallest space. And that's where your coach sits. So this is the role model, the mentor, the person who you aspire to be like, whether you know them or not, is somebody that you are starting to gather information so that you can begin to act in the same way, so you can hopefully get to the same position. Again, remembering that this is the starting spot, because then eventually you do need to adopt it to make it to your own. But then from the second level down, after the coach, you've got the captains. So really honing in and identifying who your top collaborators are, or I've heard this great terminology, your niche neighbors. So kind of like your competition, but people that you can work together and lean on, bounce ideas off of, and just kind of grow together with. You got to identify at least three of those. So then you are constantly bringing new ideas in and being able to test, because in entrepreneurship, it's a lot of trial and error until you figure it out. So if you've got one idea and you're testing it out and you've got two or three other people that are your captives and they're testing out similar ideas, you can learn from that. So you don't have to spend the time and resources on testing it out yourself.
Yeah, totally agree. 100%.
And then finally, the bottom tier of the triangle is the crowd. So you want to identify at least five people that you can call on that would be like your biggest supporters. So if you've got a new project, you got a new product, or you've got a new service that you're trying to test out, these are the ones who will jump in and they'll pay for your service or your product and they'll leave you a great testimonial, really get their ground running to get that momentum moving.
Yeah, I love that. I love that visual. I think most people are visual learners. So I think you describing the triangle like really stands out. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement. And it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled cellevate.com, which is cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. So I'm just going to ask the obvious question, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I want to hear you talk about it a little more. Obviously, making a big pivot in your business had to have been a real challenge for you. I would imagine there were probably a lot of like fear. There's probably quite a bit of fear and uncertainty. And there was probably a lot of, you know, I know something's got to change. I don't quite know what that is yet, but I just know if I don't do this now, I'm not going to do it. So can you talk to us a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah. It was different than what you might think, because there was a period of time when I was trying to figure out what it was exactly that I wanted to do. And because fitness and nutrition and all the schooling and education and everything in my background in that, it was hard for me to kind of just separate it cut and dry. I mean, it was a long process. I was thinking I needed to do this and it was going through it. So the struggles really came from the time that it took for me to gain clarity on the actual shift. So in today, my coaching, I still treat fitness and strength training and incorporating that into my first principle of building resilience. But I also have the nutrition and diet information in the second principle with that intentional consumption. So that still became part of it. And for a while, I was holding on to it until I made that that decision where I was like, oh, this is still part of it. Like I don't have to get rid of it forever. I just need to add other things into this and grow it into a bigger thing. And that period of evolution for myself as a coach was the difficult part. But then once it kind of clicked, it was like, wow, this is so much easier. And then being able to help people in a different lens. Yeah.
Did you find at all as you were making the change that you had people that just didn't want to work with you anymore? And obviously we always have to navigate that as business owners, that there you know, they're just like they're seasons for us in our business. They're seasons for clients too.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, that's so true because people come and go into our lives for different parts and reasons. So yeah, sometimes it can be a little bit bittersweet at times, and just knowing that you're growing and they're growing separate different directions and things is good. And when I was just in strength and conditioning and I had maxed out my schedule, that's when I first got into, okay, there's another way to be able to help more people. And that's, I got into online coaching for fitness and nutrition.
Yeah.
And for me, it was always a period for me to work to get my clients to not want to work with me anymore. Teach them during our sessions in person to then just being able to get them equipped enough where they didn't necessarily need me to hold their hand through everything. So it's always been part of me to kind of evolve and grow and move on and like kind of help the birds spread their wings and go and do their thing. Totally. So it wasn't as difficult for me to let some people go.
Yeah. And I also think too, that you hit on something that I think a lot of us, at least a lot of us in the health and fitness space have to manage. And that is, you know, how do we best leverage our time? And I think, you know, going into the future, I think if we learned anything, especially from the pandemic, is that, you know, having one way to serve your clients is really not being future focused. And so being aware of having a way that you can leverage your time in the best way. And number two, still allow yourself to be able to help as many people as you can without obviously overextending yourself is a super big challenge that I think a lot of business owners consistently struggle with. And so you're really just kind of, you know, hitting that out of the gate right from the very beginning, and people are seeing your example.
Yeah. I mean, that I learned that pretty early into the fitness world where I was like, all right, I don't want everybody to be dependent on me. I want them to utilize me as a vehicle for them to learn and to grow and to understand. So that and you can just keep growing and evolving. And then in business too, that's like you were saying there, like you got to be able to adapt what you deliver and how you deliver it to help other people. And that's really helped me with, especially with my podcast and a lot of other projects and things that I give out is learning some people needing different things. And then that was like, okay, well, I need to create that kind of resource for somebody.
Yeah. And it's just being very astutely aware of what people are really asking for. And so a lot of what I do in conversations with people is I'll just present it hypothetically. I might already be creating it, but I still want feedback as I'm doing it. So I may say something like, hey, I'm thinking about building this. What would you like to see? You know, and I think really being intentional about how you present those questions to your clients and people that you talk to is really key, because people will tell you what they really want and really what they don't want.
Yeah. I mean, that's gold right there, because a lot of times I feel like people get into building their business and building different products because they just feel like it's that perfect thing. But then they put a lot of time and effort into it, and just to find out that nobody actually needs that. And it's,
or they just build what they want and they don't think to ask their audience, right? Yeah. Or at least they're not intentional about how they talk about it with their audience. I mean, it's not that, you know, you have to wait for someone to say, hey, I would love a resource on how to stay hydrated, for example. But, you know, keeping in mind, most people aren't going to come to you with that. But at the same time, if you're hearing a lot of that in the conversations that you have with people, then to me, that's almost an intuitive hit that, you know what, it'd probably be a good idea if I had a resource that I could offer on that, right? So we really have to be looking at our business through really two lenses. And to your earlier point, when we first started chatting, you know, if you're so consumed with working all the time and having your energy be depleted, then you're not only hurting the people that you serve, but you're really hurting yourself too.
Oh, yeah. So true. And what we're really talking about here is that awareness of your business, awareness of what everybody needs, and awareness of yourself too. And that's the through line in this conversation, I feel like.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you're stretched to the max, then your sense of awareness is just not there, because you're always living in that scarcity mode every day. Like, I can't do that because that person will leave or whatever. Instead of just being aware, you know what if I did it this way? What would happen? Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So real quick, before we wrap up, tell us a little bit about your framework. You kind of alluded a little bit to how you help your clients get results, but I'm sure you have, you think you mentioned you had a framework or a system. You know, can you walk us through what that looks like?
Yeah. So for the prime performance process, really, it's a three-phased kind of framework. We dive in, and typically, if you're starting from ground zero to getting to the end, we start off with looking good is that phase, the first phase. So we've got looking good, feeling good, and doing great things. And each phase has two principles that hold them up. And in the first phase there of looking good, it's all about building resilience and acting with intentionality. Because when you've got that resilience, you're confident, you're competent, and you can really just handle everything that life throws at you. And once you start to act with intentionality, you really fuel yourself and you create this endless loop of motivation to kind of keep you driving forward. And to me, that's what it really means when you're looking good. You're confident and energized and you're good to go. So once you're looking good, you kind of graduate or evolve and move in into the second phase of feeling good. So then you ask, okay, well, what does it mean to feel good? And to me, feeling good really means that you're clear on your focus and your in what you're trying to do. So you know where you're at, you know where you're trying to get to, and really you know the actions that it takes to get there. And moving through those actions and going through that journey smoothly and efficiently. So the second phase of feeling good is really all about that focus and clarity and that first and the principle number three. And principle number four is the optimization. So really enhancing and looking deep into your rules and your routines or your schedules and your habits so that you can slide through life on a nice smooth path. And then finally, you getting into that final phase of doing great things. And as many lone wolf entrepreneurs there are out there, the most successful ones know that you can't do it alone and it takes a village. So the first part, the first principle in stage or in phase number three is really social and that social capital and social influence, being able to identify your team and communicate with influence and authority. And once you get around great, like, A-team players, then you can start to level up and get into that final principle, which is really luck creation. And you've got all that other preparation done. And now it's time to just keep your eyes open and teach yourself how to be available for opportunity, because opportunity is all around us. And it's just got to be able to look and see and know it, where to find it. Because once you flip that switch, you become that overnight sensation and nobody else knows that about all that other work that you put in, and you just look like the luckiest guy in the world.
Yeah. And I love how you language this and you say, be available for opportunity, because one of my core beliefs, I've been working with a mindset coach for almost 5 years now. And one of the things that I have come to kind of use as a tool is what I call a belief plan. And it's basically just a list of intentional thoughts that just really make me feel great, but put me into massive action mode, not from a hustle standpoint, but from an energetic standpoint. And so one of my core beliefs is that people are always watching me and there's always opportunity every day. And so I love what you just said, is that if you're available for opportunity, then it will find you. But if your energy is elsewhere, then the opportunity won't find you. So I think that's gold for people listening.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. So before we wrap up, can you offer us just a couple of quick tips, a couple of actionable strategies, just little nuggets that people can walk away with and maybe get them started if they find themselves in this place where they don't really know what to do next?
Yeah. So when people are usually lost, they're looking around for a map. And when I'm talking on stage, I always, especially when it's about gaining clarity and kind of looking for direction, we're in this journey because we're trying to climb to the highest peaks. We're trying to be as successful as we can. And if you're out and about trying to climb these mountains, it could be tough when you're trying to follow on a map, and especially if you don't know where you're currently at. So I always tell everybody to look at the top tallest mountain, because up top there's a flag marking the spot for where you got to get to. So I use the acronym FLAG, to give us direction and clarity. And if you're out there and you're like, okay, where do I go? How do I decide what I need to do next? Doing this little exercise is a great way to kind of align yourself.
Okay, great.
So FLAG as an acronym, you want to look at the first letter F, which is foundational values. This is the hard one because you got to really dive in deep and really figure out what motivates you. Why do you do the things that you do and what really means the most to you?
Yeah.
So it does take a little bit of time to kind of dive in. And that one is a little bit hard. But once you have that down, you've set that foundation. Then you can move into the next letter, which is L, and that's lifestyle. So what about the lifestyle that you want to live is unique to you?
Yeah.
And then kind of figuring out why. But this one's the fun one, though. So you can be like, okay, well, what kind of foods do you like and what kind of music and what's your favorite color? And it can be creative and fun. And then asking yourself why you like those things reveals another layer of yourself. So a really simple one, my favorite color is red. What does red mean to me? To me, it can be strong. It can be aggressive. It can be cool. And at the same time, it can be loving and passionate and caring. And I feel like that's kind of representation of myself because there are times where out in the rugby field, I got to be aggressive and tough and I got to be strong and other times I can be loving and caring. So that's a little fun one there. I'm going through a lot of those different things. Then you can move into A, which are your aspirations. What are your actual goals? What are you really trying to get to? Because a lot of people typically just set financial goals, but you got to ask yourself why. What is it that the money is going to bring for you? Is it more time with the loved ones? Is there certain things that you want to get because it makes you feel differently? Or figuring out those things really helps you because then you know that deeper why. And then finally, the last one is G, is growth opportunities. And this is where you perform a mini SWOT analysis on yourself, really honing in on your biggest strengths and figuring out where you can hopefully send out and get help with. So like, for example, I've been a speaker leader for most of my life. So shifting into speaking on stages wasn't too terrible of a transition for me. However, starting the podcast was tough because tech is not something I'm the greatest with. Editing and preparation. Yeah. So that was tough. So once I hired a team of VAs, that really helped me elevate up and start to produce a lot more content and better content at that as well.
Yeah, I love that. Such good advice. This is just like such a great little nugget for people to walk away with. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah, the easiest place would be social media. So either on Instagram or LinkedIn, where I typically hang out the most nowadays. And it's easy to just find me by searching my name. And or over on my podcast, which is Surviving the Side Hustle.
Surviving the Side Hustle. Such a cool name.
Thank you.
Yeah, love it. Love it. See, was your Instagram just your name then?
Yep, just Rob Tracy. TRACZ. It's the last
name.
Got
it. Okay, fantastic. Thanks so much for making time to share your story and all the work that you're doing to help your clients. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me and hear a little bit about my story.
Sure, of course. So folks out there listening, if what you have heard today has really been helpful for you in any way, particularly like the FLAG, there's the FLAG acronym, there was the team triangle, there were lots of things, lots of little nuggets dropped here that this may be an episode that you might want to bookmark and come back to. And on that note, if what we've talked about today, you know, was helpful for you or inspired you in some way, and you want to share it with people that you know, please feel free to copy the link to whatever you're listening to us on. We're on every platform out there, and just forward it to them as a gift from me. Or if you like, we're happy to do it for you. If you want to come over to my site and connect with me, you can find me at www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L.com. And just hit the connect button. It's in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage and just write to me and we can take care of it for you. My DMs, as you know, are always open. I love hearing from you every week. So many of you write to me all the time and talk about how whatever episode, whoever I was speaking to, just really like helped you make a tough decision, helped you get out of a tough spot, or more, you know, just as important, helping to move you forward in your business, because that's really what we strive to do. I really personally like to hear other people's stories because I think we look for ourselves in other people's stories. And I think hearing what was a challenge for somebody can often help us get to a quicker solution. So just know that that's always one of my goals for you every week. And if there's anyone that you would like me to chat with, if there's somebody that you know in your world that has an inspiring story around business, whether it's how they've reinvented themselves or made a big pivot, we always love to talk to them on this show. So please feel free to reach out to me and let us know. Thank you for always supporting us, for listening, for following, for subscribing and downloading. We have millions of people following us around the world. This is why we're always ranked in the top 5% globally, and we don't take that lightly at all. We're very proud of the product that we produced, and a lot of it is because of you. So just know that whether you're listening to me today for the first time or for whether you've been following me for any length of time, we love each and every one of you and consider you part of our family. This is Allison Katzkowski with Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. That's what I got for you this week. We will see you next time. Bye.